And it's a great day to be alive in Pittsburgh, PA, friends, neighbors, wonderful Yinzers, wherever you may be, from LA to Miami, from Seattle to Boston and everywhere in between. We're global as well. Welcome in to another edition of Caboli and Mac. He's Mark Caboli. I'm Chris Mack. And one of the two of us actually claimed this morning that there's nothing to talk about today. Please, we're 10 days until the draft. There's plenty to talk about. There's quarterbacks getting hurt. There's plenty to talk about. There's a possible opponent for the Ireland game being rumored about out there. There's plenty to talk about, Kaboom. There's WrestleMania just 5 days away. Are you ready? Come on. Let's go, pal. I know it's Monday morning, but we got to be ready to go.
Nothing new to talk about. Nothing interesting to talk about.
Sure there is. There's Aaron
Rodgers. Where is it? I mean, who's going to fall in the draft? I mean, my goodness. Let's beat this to death.
That's kind of our job.
Beat it to death. Every day it's like somebody says something different.
It's like with the guys needlessly pounding the railroad tracks with a sledgehammer. They're just beating it down into the like ground for no reason.
That Iron City commercial and say, you dumb, Ray.
You don't get these sitting around petting kitty cats.
Dumb, Ray. Whoever says something a little bit different, well, Steelers might be wanting to take Shador Sanders. Oh, let's run with our head cuts off. Yeah, sure. Shador Sanders would be interesting if he's there at 21.
He's probably not going to be, though.
What are we doing here? It's getting silly season. Silly season.
This is what happens. The lead up to the draft, now just 10 days away, it can get a little nuts. Caboli and Mac presented by the Dan Heck Team. HeckTeamHomes.com, HAECK, HeckTeamHomes.com. You're looking to buy or sell a home in the Pittsburgh area. They are the people to take care of you. We appreciate them for taking care of us. And yeah, it's just 10 days till the draft. And I increasingly get the feeling, Mark, that this is going to end up being a whole lot less entertaining than people expect it to be. Like, we've talked so much about Sanders and Dart and quarterback this and quarterback that, and ooh, Milroe's being invited to the draft. I'm becoming more secure in the idea of them just taking whichever interior D lineman, either Derek Harmon or Walter Nolan, is still around at that point. Maybe both of them are there and they get their choice, but both of those guys really profile as like Cam Hayward 2.0 types, in my opinion. And it just makes a ton of sense. And then, you know what? You don't have a second round pick. So maybe you don't get a quarterback that you like in this draft, but if they do in fact feel secure in Rodgers showing up at some point this spring or summer, then they don't necessarily need to go out and risk a high-end pick on a quarterback.
Especially one that you're not 100% sure of. I mean, Shador Sanders could be the second coming, right? I mean, the guy that's around for 12 to 15 years, the next franchise quarterback you're looking for. But, I mean, is he a sure bet? No, nobody's a sure bet, but I like to have my a better feel of a guy that has everything lined up rather than grabbing Shador Sanders because he's there, asking him to, commit to him for 3 to 4 years. Then if it doesn't work out, you're right back to step one again. I don't know if that's the guy. I mean, I like Shador. I don't know if I like him at 21. I mean, and once again, I mean, you could sit there and you could talk about, okay, the Steelers want him, but there is 20 other teams ahead of him. There's 10 teams behind him, and I'm sure at least half of them would want a quarterback. I mean, there is no guarantee right now that – I know that whatever, Dan Orlovsky says Shador is a done deal. Yeah, great, until the Giants – who's number one overall now? The Titans take Cam Ward. Yeah. Browns take whoever.
Hunter.
Jackson Dart. Say it's because, you know, you're not very happy with Flacco and you're not very happy
They're
with.
They're not happy with Kenny?
What? And before you go, and then you have New Orleans at 9, takes Dart and Sanders. Then you don't even have an opportunity get to the point of drafting a guy. So to sit here and say this is what they're going to take is just ridiculous, because so many things can happen, and what we've seen from the past is teams tend to be trigger happy with quarterbacks early in the draft.
So I don't disagree with you that all three of those guys that we keep talking about as the top three quarterbacks could be gone by the time they draft at 21. I don't know if it's necessarily Shador going before 9 to New Orleans or not. Like it could go Cam Ward 1, Shador 9 to New Orleans, because that's the other news of the weekend. Derek Carr is hurt. Now, the Saints were in the market for a quarterback anyway. I don't think Derek Carr getting hurt changes their approach to the draft at all. But now I think maybe the possibility comes around that we see, like, if you're the Giants, or you mentioned the Browns, because Flacco, we mentioned it late on Friday, Flacco signs there, and you've got Flacco and Pickett. I mean, the Giants, the Browns, maybe the Raiders, even though they've committed for a few years to Geno, maybe any of those teams not choosing in the first round, but deciding to trade from the high second round into the late first or even middle first round, decides, hey, we like Jackson Dart, and he's still there at 18 maybe, and they trade back up and take him there. So I don't disagree that it's entirely possible all three of those guys, Sanders and Dart included, could be off the board by the time the Steelers come up at 21. I just think you're really rolling the dice on what we talked about the day after they lost to the Ravens, right? The day after they lost to the Ravens, we talked about defense and how the defense collapsed as much down the stretch as the offense did. And they especially got eaten up in the run game, right? And we all talked about the model over the next few weeks, the model the Eagles had built, building from the trenches outward, that was where their strength was, and that's why the Eagles handled the Chiefs in the Super Bowl and why they got through the playoffs the way they did, because they built in the trenches on the defensive line included. So if you have the opportunity to do that, I come all the way back around to where I was in late January, which is I think you have to do that and let the quarterback thing – I mean, you're not going to figure it out this year anyway, I don't think, if you're bringing Rodgers in. The quarterback thing, I don't want to say you punt on it. Maybe you bring somebody in super late in the draft as just a flyer. But that guy's going to be a backup anyway, and maybe next year is your opportunity to figure out quarterback.
I mean, two thoughts real quick. I mean, there's no doubt that maybe Miami could be in the market for a quarterback at 13, Colts at 14. Look what Atlanta did last year, so why isn't Seattle – be a team that's interested in a quarterback too. I mean, Raiders obviously too with 34. But do you remember what our friend Todd Haley said the other day? You know, sometimes you're sitting there in that room and you're saying, "Is this the year we go for the quarterback, take a chance on somebody, or we go get ourselves a TJ Watt and think we can win right now?" This year's version of TJ Watt is the big defensive lineman.
Yeah,
from Oregon, or you know, or Walter Nolan, whoever it is, whoever you want to talk about, Harmon, or I mean, that's the conversations you're having right now. Do you think that a guy like Derek Harmon can put you over the top? I mean, I don't care what you think. I mean, you, the fans, me, whatever. What do they think? They think they're a 10-win team. You add Aaron Rodgers, they think they have a better opportunity at DK Metcalf. So maybe all they do need is a Derek Harmon to push him over a little bit so they don't get run on for 280 yards against, you know, the Ravens,
Baltimore,
or you know, whoever,
whoever it might be.
Cleveland, yeah. Whoever it is, whoever else they're playing. So that's that probably internal battle right now. Just because they need a quarterback doesn't mean that they should take a quarterback.
I think either one of those picks, though, can be as much about this year as next year. Obviously, a quarterback pick is more for the future than now, right? Assuming Rodgers comes in eventually. The D-line pick can be as much about now as it is the future, whether it's Harmon or Nolan. That's a guy that you can get on the field for a few snaps, a few downs this year, working with Cam, working inside, because both of those guys are versatile enough. They can bump down inside and play in an A-gap. Both of them obviously spent most of their collegiate careers in a B gap. And both of them, more Nolan, have occasionally lined up outside as well. So, like, they can play anywhere on the D-line. So, to start them, you plant them inside and say, hey, control the A-gap. Like, don't overthink it. Read, run, or pass, and go. And you let Cam bring them up, sort of mentor them a little bit. I know you hate that when we talk about it with quarterbacks, but bring them along a little bit. Show them some tips and tricks of the trade. And then when Cam's done in another year or two, however long that may be, that guy takes over as the Cam 2.0.
And you look at a guy like Harmon, he could maybe give you 20 snaps the first month of the season, but that very well could turn into 40 snaps by the end of the season.
Right.
You know, which where you, some players may be worn down. And I mean, there is something to the old Eagles way of putting it together. I believe I told a story about, I said, Omar, is it Andy Whitehall's board? Offensive line, defensive line, offensive line. He goes, yeah, basically. So, yeah. So,
yeah.
Now, who has the pull in that? So, their mindset is to definitely build out that defensive line right now. And you just have to ask yourself, is Shedeur Sanders more of a better sure bet right now than Derek Harmon or whoever's available? Hey, who knows? Derek Harmon might not be there. You know, who knows?
Fair.
That's what you have to – people hate it. That's what makes the draft great and bad. Great and terrible all at the same time or the lead up. You don't know how this is going to go. I mean, who knew Michael Penix was going to go sixth overall last year, which switches everything up. Maybe Derek Harmon's gone 10th overall. Then you have no choice but to take a guy like Shedeur Sanders or something like that. So it's so fluent right now. I guess we could just – say what would fit them most. And I think if Shedeur or Derek Harmon's on the board at the same time, you take the defensive lineman.
If they're both on the board, if they have a quarterback and a defensive lineman of their choice to choose from at the same time, I think you're right. They're going to have a real hard time given where the head coach is at in his career and how he may be feeling the pressure to break through again. Where the GM is at in his, I mean, he's only in, this will be what his, the third draft or fourth draft he's run, third draft, I think, fourth. And so, you know, there's pressure on Omar as well. To your point, Andy Weidel, they brought him in for a reason a few years ago, and the guy wants to build it a certain way, and I don't blame him for that. It makes a ton of sense. Again, we saw it succeed with the Eagles the last couple of years. Everybody's got their own, I don't want to say agenda because everybody wants to win. That's the ultimate goal. But like some people want to win on different timelines and might think there's different ways to get there. And some people might say, hey, we haven't been able to win without the quarterback, or we've been able to win, but not enough and get to the point where we think we should be. And other people say, yeah, that's all well and good, but this quarterback ain't it, or is not worth the draft capital we're going to spend on him if we take him at 21. Without having a second round pick, that creates the idea of, well, then we're basically just prisoners of the moment on Friday night, sitting and waiting and waiting and sitting for the 83rd pick to come up late Friday night so that you finally get an opportunity to pick in the last third of last back half of the third round. And you're not going to get a quarterback of any value then, I don't think, or at least a quarterback that you could play in the next couple of years as a starter. And all the defensive linemen that you really like, as deep as the class may be, they may be off the board too. So, you know, I'm not complaining about trading a second round pick when it's for DK Metcalf, but that does put them in a pinch where they really have to plant their flag on that first pick Thursday night and say, yes, this is how we believe we're going to chart the course forward. Because there's no guarantee that even if they want to, they can move back into the second round.
I mean, you can't discount the fact that there are teams behind him that might want to jump up there too.
Right.
I mean, the Rams. I mean, Stafford's ancient. I mean, the Ravens. That's how the Ravens end up getting Lamar, maybe. I don't know. That's a guy that you have to keep an eye on. There's a couple teams there. And maybe the Vikings. I mean, are you that sold on McCarthy? So there's teams that can jump back in the Giants in the late second, but that'd be very expensive. Maybe this is all just a ploy. Hey, we're interested in Shedeur. We're interested in Shedeur. Okay, we'll offer you a second-round pick to move up 14 spots. Now, the Giants would want to move up from what were they in the second round? 35?
They are 21.
That's a haul, brother. Yeah. Now, yeah, I don't think the Steelers would do that because they wouldn't want to give up a first round pick. That's what's tough about that.
No, but I think when you talk about teams like maybe the Rams are a really interesting look.
Plus,
right?
They, you know, they think outside the box.
Like if the Rams want to jump up 5 or 6 picks to get to where they feel secure in the fact, like if Jackson Dart is sitting there and available and available and available, and you're the Steelers and you're like, eh, we like Dart, but we don't 21st pick overall like Dart. And we'd like to get our defensive lineman, then yeah, maybe you swap out with the Rams and you gain a second round pick for it. That's 5 spots. It's probably a lot to pay to move up 5 spots, but if that's what the Rams really have their heart set on, they might be willing to pay it. And then you're there at 26 and maybe back in the game at like 58 as well.
Yeah. I mean, you don't see them moving back very often. They value that first round pick. I mean, they move back with Hampton. I don't even know if they moved back. Maybe who did we come to the conclusion? Was it Santonio?
I don't think they moved back to get Santonio. I think they just stayed put. Santonio was 18th overall. Well, I thought
they definitely made a trade. They definitely made a trade for Santonio. Where did he go?
I don't know. They took him 25th.
Yeah, so they moved up like 6 spots, right?
I don't think they moved up. I think they stayed put.
It was a 2026 draft, so they won the Super Bowl in 05. They had to move up.
I don't know. You're asking way too many questions. You're the reporter. You're supposed to have this.
I'm telling you, I'm pretty sure they moved up. So I'm talking about moving back. The only one I can really recall is Casey Hampton. Unless I'm wrong, somebody else, I'm sure Pony's Burner will correct me in a second.
But, I mean, if that opportunity exists, whether it's a part of what you've done over the years or not, and again, this is only Omar's 3rd draft that he'll have run, he's shown an ability to be kind of nimble and do things in a different way than it was done for 20 years under Kevin Colbert, right? And that's, I'm not saying that's good. I'm not saying that's bad. It's just non-judgmentally a fact. He does things very differently than Kevin did them. He's much more aggressive.
I just hate the fact of taking a guy like Shedeur Sanders and you have to commit to a guy that you may not be in love with for 3 to 4 years.
But maybe they are. Maybe they had the greatest meeting ever with him on Friday, Thursday, whatever it was. And they love him and they got him on the board and he knows how to work Arthur Smith's offense, and he had a great conversation, and maybe they really, maybe he showed them something in a private workout where, you know, his arm looks stronger than it does to the rest of us, whatever it may be. Maybe they are in love with him. That's the thing. That's the other part of this we don't know. Like you said, we don't know which teams have fallen in love with certain players. We didn't know the Falcons had fallen in love with Michael Penix Jr. last year, but they did, and they said, screw the Cousins contract. We got to have this guy if he's there, and they jumped on it. Maybe they feel that way about Shedeur. Maybe there's a connection between Sanders and Tomlin. Maybe they feel that way about Jackson Dart for that matter. Who knows?
Let's look at the last two that come to mind of drafting a quarterback when they really didn't need one. Alex Smith was pretty established in Kansas City and they took Pat Mahomes. And last year they gave all the money to Kirk Cousins. And I mean, that's just two to come to the top of mind. Now, when things work out like this, you know, other teams are thinking, okay, this is how we need to go about it. Maybe we don't need a quarterback right now, but it's nice to have that Brett Favre Green Bay succession plan in place if we're the Raiders, if we're the Seahawks. I mean,
yeah,
Sam Darnold's a great story, but that doesn't mean Sam Darnold's going to go out there and be.
And you don't know if that's going to last either, yeah, right? Like, he could turn back into a pumpkin this year.
It's 2 years. Plus, they don't have much in the way of offensive weapons to help him.
No, not anymore. Thanks to both Justin, who reminds us that the Steelers traded up with the Giants to get Holmes. You were right, Kaboom. They traded up to get Santonio.
I think the last time they traded back, only time they traded back, I think, ever, modern era, was Casey Hampton.
Okay. Doesn't mean they wouldn't do it now. But
that doesn't mean they won't do it.
Good historical context for whatever they may or may not do.
They just value that first round pick I mean, maybe it's different because they do play free agency a little bit different than they did in the past. I'm not saying it's never going to happen, but maybe something.
Well, I think it really does depend too on how many defensive linemen they really like. Because if they like both Derek Harmon from Oregon and Walter Nolan from Ole Miss, they can look at it and say, yeah, we really like both of these guys. So even if one is gone, we're comfortable staying put where we are and getting the other one. And then if the opportunity for someone to trade up with us and take our pick and we move back a few spots, again, we'll use the Rams as an example, presents itself, maybe they feel comfortable doing that because they believe that that other defensive lineman is still going to be there at 26. Again, if we're using the Rams as an example.
I'm just pretty bullish of saying if Sanders is there at 21, okay, we'll consider it. But I'm not moving.
I'm not moving. And I've heard people throw that theory out there over the weekend. Like, do they like Shutter or Sanders enough to move up to get him? No, I don't think so. And you don't have the draft capital to do it unless you start dealing next year's picks, which we've already talked about. Could be used as capital maybe in some instances, but I think they'd much rather wait and use those picks next year to move up in next year's draft.
Yeah, I wouldn't be shocked that they do use a pick or two this year to get back into late second. I don't know.
That's going to be pretty – I mean, if that happens, it's going to have to be because I would think there's a quarterback that they like that's sliding, Jalen Milroe maybe, and they – see that as an opportunity, but then they're not going to be the only team. Like, I think it would be pretty damned expensive to jump in somewhere in what, like the mid to late 50s, you know, where they would be anyway if they were picking in the second round. You know, that's, I don't know what, maybe you give up next year's second, maybe you give up a third and a fourth next year. It's just, it feels like a lot to move back into the second round and reappear there.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because they would have been at 52 before the DK trade. And if they start to see that you're getting into the, you know, 46, 47, 48 territory, and again, maybe something happens with Jackson Dart that he's still available, or Milroe, or whatever, and you want to jump on it there, there's going to be other teams thinking about doing that too.
Milroe, that's, you might as well just sit put.
Although I'm looking at one mock draft here now. I'm not sure whose this is.
Well, that's not a good sign. I don't know who the mock draft is, well, but
it's on the Tankathon website. Oh, Tankathon is good for keeping track of where everybody's draft picks are. Anyway, they have Milroe sliding to 83, and the Steelers taking him there. I don't see that happening because
there's a lot of these mock drafts and theories are based off of rosters. You look at where you need this guy. This guy needs, the Steelers are in need of a quarterback. They could be using a wide receiver. So all of a sudden then you hear, well, they might be interested in trading George Pickens. They need a quarterback. Then all of a sudden that becomes news when it's not. It's just somebody looking at a roster and says, okay, Pickens is going to be here next year. So they have to trade him and they have to draft him. No, they don't. No, they don't.
Listen,
I don't even to get off topic a little bit. I wouldn't even rule out extending George if they have a quarterback on a rookie deal next year.
Yeah, because you can get away with overpaying the receiver position, or maybe not even overpaying, but paying a lot to the receiver position is the better way to put it. And you'd have a shit ton of money committed to the wide receiver position if you re-sign Pickens and you've got Pickens and Metcalf.
Does Metcalf make more money than the entire Pirates roster?
Oh, that's a great question. Hold on. You look up what's Metcalf's salary this year?
Well, it's only like 20 maybe.
Okay, so no. But when it maxes out, what is his I'm looking at the year by year. In the final year of his deal, his cap hit is $41.5 million. No, that's still not as much as the Pirates whole roster. Pirates whole roster is like close to 70, I think. Those big spenders, they are.
Ooh, so. Yeah, I know.
Now, are we talking about guaranteed money? He's got $60 million guaranteed in this new deal. Could look at it that way.
Oh, the bottom line is the Roonies might be cheap with their facilities, but they're not cheap paying their players.
And that's the bottom line, because Kaboom said so. Don't forget, it's beautiful out today. Finally, really starting to feel like spring in Western PA.
By the way, real quick, Brian Garrett, my Exxon Valdez, I saw Starkey stole that today. What the hell?
Really?
He kept referring him to Exxon Valdez. I'm like, I know that's not unique, but I believe I was the first.
Well, great minds think alike. All right,
tell us about Dan Heck.
No, I already told everybody about Dan. I want to tell everybody about Southwest Greens.
There you go.
That's the place to go to get your yard taken care of. Forget having to water the grass. Forget having to mow it. I did that. I had to break out the mower this weekend. You know, all the time and effort and money that goes into lawn care. Get a lawn installed from Southwest Greens PA, southwestgreenspa.com. It'll be the best looking yard in the neighborhood and no maintenance. It's an artificial surface that looks real, feels real, acts real, except you ain't got to water it. You ain't got to spray any crazy chemicals on it. You don't have to mow it. You don't have to weed whack, none of that stuff. The pets, the kids, the whole family get to enjoy it. And you get to enjoy the extra free time that you get from not having to take care of the damn lawn constantly. Southwest Greens. Get a hold of Jake today. Tell him Cavalli and Max sent you. southwestgreenspa.com is the website. Go there, check it out. The stuff looks beautiful, and like I said, feels beautiful too. It doesn't look like you got that fake plastic grass from your uncle's patio in 1983. This is the good stuff. You will have the best yard in the neighborhood. southwestgreenspa.com. All right, I mentioned earlier Derek Carr might be hurt, like hurt. Does this open a door? Forget the draft. Okay, we talked about the draft. Does this open the door for the Saints to place a call to Mr. Rodgers, and maybe Aaron Rodgers now starts this thing? I had a Steelers fan come up to me over the weekend who...
Santoro?
No, not Santoro. I didn't see Santoro this weekend. Who went on a rant about how Aaron Rodgers is just using the Steelers to get attention, and that's all he wants out of this. And the second a job opens up somewhere else, he's going to bolt there. Does that possibility exist, do you think, Mark, with the Saints, if Derek Carr is out for the season?
I'm sure that the Saints would inquire. But who's closer to winning? I don't think the Saints are very close at all. I mean, they got an aging running back. They don't have much in the way of – weapons. I don't even know who their head coach is. And they just
Kellen Moore. Oh. They just hired Kellen Moore.
Well, maybe
Super Bowl winning offensive coordinator.
Tells you how much I pay attention. I still thought it was Dennis Allen or whoever it was. I thought they'd like Spencer Rattler, didn't they?
I mean, they played him a good bit down the stretch, but I don't know if Kellen Moore is going to hitch his wagon to Spencer Rattler.
If I'm the Saints, I give him a call. I mean, I'm like, hey, could you possibly be interested? But isn't the Saints always really awful with the salary cap? They might not have any cash.
So that I know that was a big deal with them, like in the immediate aftermath of Drew Brees retiring. That was a thing that they had to deal with for a while. Let me check and see what their cap number is right now. I mean, they still have cap space. Everybody has cap space now. The cap went up so much, it doesn't even exist anymore. So they still have cap space, at least according to SpotTrack. So, you know, would it make things tight for them against the cap? Sure, but I mean, if you're Aaron Rodgers, you get to play all your games indoors. Or most of them anyway, right? Indoors or in warm environments because they're in the NFC South. Chris Olave, Brandon Cooks, Rashid Shaheed. You've got some decent targets there. They've got an okay tight end in Foster Moreau. You said Kamara's getting older, and he is. But he looks like he's still got maybe a year or two left in the tank. You're
paying Taysom Hill $18 million cap hit this year.
Well, that's ridiculous.
Oh, what are you doing here?
I mean, I don't know. It's the Tom Brady blueprint of go to the NFC South and see how far you can go. And it worked for Brady.
Yeah, I mean, I'm guessing it is indoors. I guess that might – it's on turf. Maybe they're like – I don't know. I just think the Rodgers of Pittsburgh is a done deal. I just think it's just a matter of when he signs. I don't know when he's going to sign. I don't think he knows when he's going to sign. I know the Steelers don't know when he's going to sign. They truly believe that he's going to. I mean, I guess the big question is, do they get just so steamed and say, screw this, we're moving on. You know, Mason's our guy. Does it ever get to that point?
I mean,
I don't know.
But if you get to, honestly, if you get to training camp and the dude still hasn't decided what he wants to do, you got to have a long, hard talk with each other about, okay, are we done waiting? Like,
I mean, you have to worry about alienating some of the veterans too.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure TJ Watt's not thrilled with a 42-year-old quarterback that's never been part of the organization getting preferential treatment in terms of salary over him right at this moment. I'm sure that has something to do with it. Hey, you're worried about this guy? You're not taking care of me?
Yeah. This was supposed to be the summer of TJ's extension. And now it's the summer of waiting for Rodgers. Yeah, I can't imagine.
There's only a handful of guys that even matter. I mean, if it's Cam, if it's Minka, if it's TJ, who the hell else cares? If Deshaun Elliott's upset, I mean, who the hell cares? You know? I mean, I'm just being honest here. I mean,
Pat didn't seem annoyed with it when we talked
Pat's
to him the other day.
Never annoyed at anything. So.
Yeah. So that's no. But I mean, and you know, Cam, for what it was worth, kind of played it off after it seemed like he was annoyed a few weeks ago.
You think Alex Highsmith saying, "I can't believe this piece of no." Alex Highsmith would never say anything. I mean, who else like matters? I mean, is Joey Porter is. Darius Slay, no, none of these guys are. There's like the triplets on defense, the only people that you probably yapping amongst themselves.
So you make a good point. Like, other than Cam and TJ, basically, I think those would be the only two whose sensibilities I would be worried about chafing if I were Omar Khan and Mike Tomlin. Other than those two, there's probably not a lot of guys worried about when and if Aaron Rodgers comes in. Yeah. Now, I do think that at a certain point, when you start doing things like, I don't know, installing an offense in late July, early August, when you get up to St. Vincent, like, you got to have the quarterback who's going to be the guy who's going to be running. Otherwise, you can go. So here's an example that I would set would be you can maybe Rodgers doesn't sign by then. And you go into camp with Rudolph and I don't know who the other guy is. Again, it doesn't really matter. Let's say Rudolph's your starter, though. And you start installing that Arthur Smith offense with Mason in mind. And then all of a sudden, Aaron Rodgers comes out of a hole somewhere and says, oh, no, guys, I'm still interested. I want to play. And you sign him. And now all the work that you've done to that point, I don't want to say gets thrown out, but for the most part, you light it on fire because Aaron Rodgers is going to want the offense to be conducive to what Aaron Rodgers wants to do. And like Todd said the other day, you'd be stupid not to take his opinion into account. When you're the OC, when you're the coaching staff, you have to work with what makes the quarterback comfortable. And now all the work you've done in building an offense that may be best for Mason Rudolph, or if you draft a rookie or whoever it may be, you've got to ball up all that work, throw it in the trash can and say, nope, it's Aaron time now. Let's completely restart everything with Aaron in mind.
That's why I think that they already know. I think they're under the impression that Aaron is signing. I mean, unless he's trying to strong arm him of not drafting a quarterback. I don't know. The problem is there's absolutely nothing said by the individual whatsoever, not even a peep. So it only leaves us to speculate. Why? I mean, because this is very unusual, obviously.
Yeah.
We've never seen a guy wait a month and a half, 2 months into free agency and not make a decision. I guess he did that with the Jets too. Wasn't it around April? I think it was late April there too. Then when he finally said, okay, I'm good. Maybe that's the case, but there is no precedent or very few precedents that suggest what he's doing.
That was right around draft weekend last year, wasn't it?
So, I mean,
it was a trade technically.
I mean, right now we're saying, okay, he's not doing this because he doesn't want to show up to minicamp. I don't think he cares. He'll be like, hey, Mike, I'm not showing up to minicamp. I mean, do you think he really cares? to say, okay, I'm going to.
Maybe that's the problem. Maybe that's, and again, this is all rampant and wild speculation, and some people are just done with it at this point.
Well, they leave it to us. I mean, when they don't say anything, that's the only thing we're left with, speculation.
But maybe that's part of the rub, too, is they sat down for their six-hour meeting and met, and Mike was like, listen, I'm going to need you to get on board with some certain things. Like, you're going to have to be here for at least a few days of minicamp, right? Because we got a couple veteran mandatory days you got to show up for. And I'm going to need you to report to camp on time and do this much at camp and all this other stuff. And maybe Rodgers is like, it's in the Jets. I can't push everybody around.
I don't even think that would be brought up during their meeting. He's just trying to get him to like the organization to come here. You think you're going to say, hey, by the way, before you leave out the back door, I need you here in May. Okay, see ya. I just don't see it. Maybe it did, but I don't see it.
Speaking of May, the schedule release, it sounds like, is going to be out probably second week of May. May 13th through the 15th is a date that's being kind of pegged. Mike North was on a Buffalo Bills podcast late last week talking about that with Sal Capaccio. Yes, the great Sal Capaccio. I want to talk about something he said in just a minute, but first, thanks to our friends at Impact HVAC. AC needs tuned up. Maybe the furnace went towards the end of the season and you're waiting until you got a few more bucks to get it replaced. Whatever it is, whatever you need taken care of, Impact HVAC, family owned and operated. Tony and the guys, they will get out there and help you with whatever you need, whether it's maintenance, whether it's a repair, even emergency calls. They take care of you. Impact HVAC, PGH on Facebook. Find them there. Can always give them a call as well. The number will scroll across the bottom of the screen here in just a second. But Impact HVAC for all your heating and cooling needs. It was mentioned by Mike North, who's what, the VP of the schedule or whatever for the NFL. I forget his exact title. But that Bills, Steelers, because again, he was on a Bills podcast. Bills, Steelers is one of those games, especially if Aaron Rodgers is involved, that they could put anywhere, right? And he threw out all the holidays, right? He threw out the first Amazon game in week two on a Thursday night.
That's
he threw
a holiday
Thanksgiving
now?
And Christmas.
That's a holiday?
Yeah.
First Amazon game.
Thanksgiving and Christmas. He threw out all the big, primetime opportunities that may exist for that game. But he said, don't discount. Don't think that maybe it wouldn't be a good game for that international slot because they want some of these international games to have a heftier weight to them. Even though they're on at 9:30 in the morning on NFL Network, they want to show that they're going to put some of the bigger inventory, I think he used the word asset, in some of those international slots. And obviously any game against the Steelers is a big deal because the international fan base, but the Bills and Steelers, one of the bigger games on the Steelers schedule, certainly don't rule out that could be Ireland game could be a good spot for that one.
I think the Steelers have the opportunity or the ability to protect the game and say, no, we want these guys at home. I mean, that's Buffalo's fair. A 3-hour drive.
Yeah.
You're going to jam that stadium. If there's how many is it whole? 68,000. If there's only 65, you know, you're going to get 68. So I don't know what the Steelers thoughts are on it. I mean, you could say the same thing with Green Bay, but I think Buffalo would have a more of a home appeal than that. I mean, well, I don't know why you would come out there, and if you're the schedule maker, even drop that as a hint.
I don't know. It's an interesting thought. I mean, the other ones that would be a possibility, obviously they're not going to do a divisional game over there, but the other AFC opponents, you've got Buffalo, you've got Indy, Miami. Those are the other three.
Is Indy already going over there?
What's that?
I thought Indy already was going over to somewhere.
Oh, you may be right. Hold on. I got to look up the different international games now to make sure we have that right. So the Jets are designated for one. The Browns are designated for one. Come on. AI and search suck. I just want the international game. Yes, the Colts are playing in Germany. The Dolphins are playing in Spain. So you take them off the list too, right? Now you're down basically to the two NFC or three NFC games that would be played at Heinz Field. I'll never call it Acrisure Stadium. Minnesota, Seattle, Green Bay, and Buffalo. That's it. Those are the only possibilities.
Plus, say last time they were overseas, they did play Minnesota.
Right. So, okay, let's take it down to Seattle, Green Bay, and Buffalo.
Seattle's a hell of a trip to go to Ireland.
Yep. Okay.
I don't know if that would be considered a prime time nugget there.
And here's the problem. If Rodgers does sign, Green Bay is going to be a game that Steelers-Packers is going to be a game that everybody wants. Even though it's being played in Pittsburgh, they still want to see Rodgers facing off against the Packers. Plus, so there's going to be a fight over that, right? And then all of a sudden, by default, it has to be the Bills game.
I got to sneeze.
Then sneeze.
A lot of times
you mute your mic first so we don't hear your snot.
I don't know. Oh, there's a mute.
There's a little button. Go ahead. Mute the mic. No, that was a terrible fake sneeze.
Yeah, that was a fake sneeze. When you have to sneeze and you can't, you look at the ceiling and it makes you sneeze. But go ahead.
Really?
Yeah. If you feel it coming on, just look at the ceiling and it makes you sneeze.
You're struggling with the is it allergies? Is that what it is? I had this a week. I
was sick for like 4 days, and now I got this clogged up stuff here.
I bet it's allergies.
I don't get allergies.
Why not? You're immune to allergies?
Yes, I am.
You've been inoculated against allergies, Rodgers?
I'm immunized.
I'm telling you, the Bills might be the one.
You're not immunized?
What?
You're not immunized?
Against what?
Crowley told me today that he goes out and cuts his grass and wears his mask, his COVID mask.
To cut the grass? Because he's like terribly allergic to grass, I think.
I'm like, dude, I hope one of those cloth ones. He only does it in his backyard because he thinks people will make fun of him in his front yard.
We're making fun of him right now. It's going to end up being the Bills. I think the schedule guy telegraphed it. I think that's what happened.
Well, I think it's pretty safe we could say it's the Bills or the Packers, right?
Yeah, I think we just narrowed it down right here and now. Unless they end up screwing the Seahawks somehow into playing that game.
So now if the Steelers say, no, we want the Bills at home, and CBS says, no, we want the Packers to be a CBS game, then where you're at? All of a sudden, here comes Seattle again.
Yeah.
I don't think it matters. We're talking about Ireland here. You're going to sell out 85,000 people regardless.
Here's the thing. Just in all fairness, we know people listen to and watch this show from all over. It's not just Yinzers local to Pittsburgh. It's Steeler fans. We've had people from different countries send us messages on YouTube and social media. Yeah. And there are people that will also make the trip. Like Steeler fans, there are some Steeler fans I know that have wanted to go to Ireland all their lives. And now they've got a chance to marry one of their favorite things in the world, the Steelers. With a chance to go to Ireland. Yeah, they'll do both at the same time.
I heard that it's a very hard ticket to get, and they're creating packages. And even if you go through the team, they pretty much need more tickets. So,
yeah. So
it's going to be, 90% Steeler fans regardless.
Right. And people want to know who the opponent's going to be. Right. Just like any other time.
They're going regardless. Well,
they're going regardless, but they want to know who the opponent's going to be. So the
Seattle, let me get a refund.
They're still going to go, but they're going to be, if they get the opportunity to go overseas and see the Steelers in Ireland, oh my God, it might be a possible playoff preview against the Bills too. Like that's, or it might be Rodgers against the Packers. Like those are a little more exciting than the Seahawks option, right?
I guess.
Yeah, I would think so.
Get yourself a pint. Drink with some.
Couple pints. The Guinness hits different over there.
Drink with Rory and drink with Seamus.
Did you get all emotional last night when Rory won? My wife was literally this close to getting choked up on the couch.
Here we go again. Are you making me feel like I have like no heart? I watched him like, oh, that's cool. He's like, I got goosebumps and I got tears. No, what are you talking about?
I thought it was really cool. Like, you don't see guys react that way all that often. You just don't.
I'm not going to be crying and having goosebumps.
I didn't tell you you were supposed to be crying.
You're not the only one. I was talking to Pump, and he, well, Pump's out of the, whatever.
Was Pomp getting emotional?
Oh,
Pomp was getting emotional because the news wasn't going to be over till 12:30, and he was going to be at work till 1 o'clock.
Everything, they're all getting emotional. They're looking at me like I'm nuts because I'm like, okay, I said, cool, this is great. You didn't get goosebumps. No.
I mean, I will say this. I was in the kitchen watching the television, you know, while we were cleaning up after dinner. And when he missed the putt in regulation on 18, I literally let out a, oh, that's fucking brutal. Because it was. So, my God, this guy is this close to finally fulfilling what he's been trying to do for 11 years.
People were rooting for him to choke.
Who was rooting for him to choke?
Oh, no, another choke. How many times did you see the...
Who are the people that want that? That's what I want to know.
Morons.
Like, I'm all for...
I saw a lot of people on the old X from big accounts saying another choke job.
Spending too much time on there. Why people got to be like that? That's Can't you be great. Happy that Rory finally pulled off what he'd been trying more than a decade to pull off?
It's great. And once again, that's great, but I'm not getting
I knew Brian Garrett, Pony's burner, would be one of the people rooting against Rory. I just knew it. I knew it. Knew it, Brian. Knew it. You're one of those people. You're one of those people. Okay.
Speaking of that, where's our buddy Relax Styles? I'm messaging
him. I don't know. He disappeared. Busy. He's busy. He gave us an intro video, and then he
said, are you alive? And he never responded to me.
Shit, maybe he's not alive then.
I don't know. I'm a little worried.
Maybe we need like a what they call it, a welfare check or whatever it is.
Welfare?
Yeah. What do they call it? What do they call that? Yeah, welfare check. No. You send somebody to check up on somebody, make sure they're
okay. I was making a play off of welfare.
No, I know what you were trying to do, but it didn't hit. You took a swing. You fouled it off. You took a swing. You got just under it, fouled it straight back to the netting. That's okay. Real quick,
to say about the Buccos and their 182 batting average.
Jesus. Did you see those numbers, by the way? Sawchick tweeted them out this morning.
Did he really?
Yeah. Hold on.
Hey, batting average is just old school. It doesn't mean anything.
No, but it's all the other numbers that really – hold on. Here it is.
How about this number? They suck.
The Pirates are hitting 184 as a team.
Tell you.
Their slugging percentage is 290.
Mario Mendoza would be an all-star on this team.
And all you need to know about this number, Kaboom, I know you don't do well with anything more than batting average and home runs, right?
Quarterback rating.
Okay, there's a number called weighted runs created plus.
Which is a made-up stat, but go ahead.
It rolls all the stats up into one and balances them against what the rest of baseball is doing, okay? That's as easily as I can summarize it. So 100, if you had a 100, you'd be perfectly average, right in the middle, right? You know what the Pirates' WRC plus is?
Negative 50.
61. Think about this on like the scale of like your grades in school. A 61... is you're this close to an F. This close.
I mean, what do you need to do? Get an F.
They're that close.
They're on pace to win 52 games this year.
And once again, we'll get a Paul Skeen start tonight that will probably get totally wasted. It's so frustrating.
Well, Exxon Valdez was playing second base, so. You know, I'm really, really, really pissed on Friday. I bought this god darn SNP Sportsnet Pittsburgh app just because all they have is Penguin games, Pirate games.
Right.
That's it. So I turn it on Friday, and I can't get the Pirates game because it's on
Apple TV on Friday.
I mean, what am I paying for this for then?
I don't know. It sounds like a conversation you got to have with the fine folks at Sportsnet Pittsburgh.
I got to go call Rob King and Potash or something.
Yeah, call Potash. We'll get to the bottom of it. Kinger, but Kinger's got a lot going on.
You don't see anything wrong with this.
I didn't say I didn't see anything wrong with it. I'm just saying I have no idea. Like, I don't know what to tell you. Baseball's broadcasting agreements are a mess right now.
Oh.
Like, I don't know what else to tell you about that. And maybe they get it fixed in the next collective bargaining agreement, but they're also going to be fighting over maybe a cap. And you know if they fight over a cap,
There's no cap.
They're going to be fighting over a floor. And if they're fighting over that, then everybody's going
to
be mad.
Why would the players even come to even think about agreeing to a cap?
If they can get them enough of the money guaranteed, and maybe that's part of it, they wouldn't want to have a cap.
Strongest union in sports.
Yeah.
Why would they give anything back? If you want us to sit out of the year, okay. I think Shohei can.
He can afford it. He
can afford it.
Yeah, he doesn't need to. What they need to do is,
I mean, there's a lot of mess up in all of sports. They need to play minor leaguers more money. In the NFL, they got a freaking guaranteed insurance for these veterans.
Right.
There's a lot of messed up stuff going on out there.
Well, why don't you fix it?
Because my name's not Roger Goodell or Faye Vincent.
Is that the first MLB commissioner that came to mind for you? Bart Giamatti.
What's the one that screwed Roger Maris?
Which one screwed Roger Maris?
He put the
asterisk on.
What the hell is his name? Kennesaw Mountain Landis.
Kennesaw Mountain Landis, yeah.
See, you don't think I know this shit.
No, I don't, to be honest. I don't even know
who the hell the MLB.
Rob Manfred.
Yes, that's it.
Jesus.
Ladies and gentlemen. The NBA is the guy with the ears, right?
The guy with the ears. Adam Silver.
Yes, Adam Silver and Roger Goodell.
Do you want to try hockey? Do you want to try NHL?
Gary Bettman,
yeah.
I know him. He's been around, 30 years now?
Yeah, longer. Jeez, yeah.
You got to give Bettman some credit because he went from versus and...
I'll give him a ton of credit for
right now.
Fixing the financial system. I mean, he was willing to eat it for... a year and a half, and it totally fixed the financial system in hockey to where it probably makes more sense than any other league in that it's always tied to revenues. It's always a certain percentage of revenues, and then it always gets evened out in the end between the money that goes into why can't I think of the word? They'll set aside money. And they'll make sure it all evens out and everybody gets the percentages that they're supposed to get.
Yep.
They do well with that. May not be the most popular league in North America anymore, but everybody gets their fair share, owners and players.
What's your favorite old school network? Was it Versus? Was it the OHL or whatever it was? Was it the KBL?
I'm trying to think.
I like the old Rook's book on KDKA back in the 80s.
Rook's book.
Was you remember KDK used to do a handful of games?
Yeah.
And Jim Rooker.
Yeah.
Let's go to Rook's book.
I remember. So there's two networks that if you have to add, if I have to tell you my favorite old school network, first of all, Versus, yes. Because think about it, that's the Penguins' first Stanley Cup run with Crosby. Is that 2009 season, the playoffs, the last two rounds of the playoffs were all on Versus. And that's Geno Malkin with the spinorama backhand against Carolina. That's, you know, Max Talbot with the goal against Detroit, the two goals against Detroit, and all of it.
That's not Albie chasing Crosby around the ice, right?
I think it was. Yeah, wasn't it? 2009.
Was that 15 or 16?
No, I don't think that was 16 or 17. I think that was 2009. Anyway, point is, there's so many memories. And they didn't just have Doc Emmerich, who was great, but they had Joe Beninati, who is still the Caps play-by-play guy, but I thought did a great job on Versus. Anyway, Versus, and you remember when ESPN2 back in the day had, like, right when ESPN2 launched, they thought it was hip and cool in the mid-90s for everything to be lowercase. Do you remember that? Like the font on everything was lowercase and they had like the big two as the logo. It looked like a handwritten two.
Yeah.
That version of old school ESPN2 with like NHL Tonight on every night at 11:30 and that kind of stuff. That was peak ESPN before it, you know, went over the edge. Like when ESPN was still fun and cool.
You ever see the Ocho on the weekends and they got pillow fights?
Yeah, cornhole. I'm like,
is this legit pillow fight?
All kinds of stuff. Yeah,
this is amazing. Crazy.
All right, real quick, in about 5 minutes here, 5 days until WrestleMania. What is the card has been set for both nights too?
Almost.
We probably get one more match on Sunday added to the mix. You think
Randy Orton doesn't know who his opponent's going to be?
That's true.
Is it going to be Sheamus? Is it going to be, newly signed Rusev Machina?
Rusev? Yeah.
Is it going to be Nick Aldis?
That would be something. So we didn't talk about this yet, I don't think. Not on the show. Do you think the Kevin Owens injury is legit?
Yeah, I think he had surgery. They showed a picture from him hospital. I think he's out at least a year and a half to 2 years.
Jeez. I got the feeling it could be a work somehow because they've done such a good job with him. But anyway, okay, so maybe a Randy Orton match gets added. Saturday night, War Raiders versus the New Day for the World Tag Team. Yeah,
something's going to have to happen there. Big E has to come. If not, it's just going to be a snooze fest.
Yeah. Rey Mysterio Jr. against Grande Americano, which...
I'm not a luchador guy, but...
The swerve there is going to be that Chad Gable comes out and interferes and helps El Grande Americano win, and then we all are left to wonder who really is El Grande Americano. That's the swerve there. Jade Cargill against Naomi.
Naomi's turning dark. She's putting some social media picks up that are she's going
full on and stuff. Yeah. That'll be interesting to see if Bianca comes out and gets involved at all. LA Knight against Jacob Fatu. I know you're a big fan of that, but Jacob Fatu probably wins, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Tiffy against Charlotte, which I don't know how that goes, but
I still think Charlotte wins.
I think that makes sense if they want to elongate this rivalry and really drag it out over a long period of time. I think that's the way to do it. And just have the thing drag out throughout the summer. I think there's enough heat now they could make that work.
How about this? They can have what's his face? Kaiser come out and help Charlotte.
Oh, that would be fantastic. That would be great. Does Andrade get involved then too?
Andrade.
Gunther against Jey Uso.
I think Jey might win this.
I think Jey wins. I think they have to pay it off. I saw an interesting theory.
28 days. They gave him the title for 28 days. What was it, the IC title?
Yeah, I think it's a good way to pay off the way the crowd has been behind Jey for a while now before it completely falls off, because it feels like it's cooling just a little bit. They give Gunther maybe a chance to go home and take some time off and maybe create a new angle for the whole world heavyweight title. And then Reigns, Punk, and Rollins. It's too obvious now, the idea of Heyman siding with Rollins. It's everybody's mentioned it. Everybody has that in the back of their heads. I have no idea what the swerve is going to be in that match, but something absolutely enormous has to happen. Like, I don't know what it could be, but something has to happen. What's John Moxley's contract status with AEW now? Like,
what about maybe he screws them all over by direction of The Rock? Then he has Heyman be The Rock's mouthpiece or Cena's mouthpiece because Cena won't be around. I don't know.
Maybe. I'm just
throwing things out there. I still think Cody has a chance to turn heel.
This weekend, though?
I think there's a chance.
I don't think. Well, hold on. That's Saturday night. Something major is going to happen Saturday night in the main event that I don't think anybody sees coming. They've done too good a job of building up all the different angles, all three sides of that. Sunday night, Liv and Raquel against Bayley and Lyra Valkyria. Okay, it is what it is. It feels like a default setting. We got to have a women's tag championship match, and they just found a mismatched pair. Maybe Bayley turns on Lyra at the end and goes back to heel Bayley. I don't know. AJ Styles against Logan Paul should be really good. They haven't had a ton of buildup to it. I'm curious to see how What's-His-Face gets involved. Oh, my God. How can I not remember his name now? He keeps popping in AJ Styles' ear.
Oh, Karrion Kross.
Karrion Kross, thank you.
He pops up to everywhere, but then it just disappears.
There's something to that, though. There's a long-term build with that, I think, somehow.
I tell you, neither one of those guys have been in the ring very much over the past 8 to 10 months. But every time there's a big event, Logan Paul shows out, even though he has like 10 career singles matches in his, obviously, his career.
They're always good, though. Like, you got to give him that. He's an easy character to hate, but he's a fun wrestler to watch.
He had one match since SummerSlam, and that was the Elimination Chamber. That's it.
Yeah. When he shows up, to your point, yeah, he shows out. I see Fatal 4-Way, Bron Breakker, Finn Balor, Penta, and Dom. There will be a full turn on Dominic Mysterio in that match. Yeah.
Braun's just getting pushed back, man. I can't see Penta losing.
You think Penta wins?
He hasn't lost yet. Why would they make him lose now?
I don't know. But something, if he loses, he won't lose clean. It'll be something happening. But there's no way Finn Balor doesn't turn on Dom at some point fully.
I wish they would put the strap on Dom, but they won't.
He doesn't need it.
I don't care what he needs. I'd like to see
the character doesn't need a belt to make him any more, to like take him to the next level. He doesn't.
Then why is John Cena going to get a belt?
I don't know if he is. Damian Priest against Drew McIntyre has a ton of potential because they'll probably inevitably do some wild
stuff. Why do they even have beef?
Because McIntyre has beef with everybody. Yeah. And anytime something goes wrong, he blames it on somebody. For a while, he was blaming it on Punk. Now he's back to blaming it on Damian Priest. The women's triple threat match, Io Sky, Bianca Belair, Rhea Ripley. I don't think there's any way Rhea doesn't win that.
She's so over that she's going to be the face of the program.
Sunday night main event, WrestleMania, Cody Rhodes, John Cena. You really think Cena could win this?
Yeah. I think Cena can win it. The storyline says John Cena should win. Cody Rhodes being that guy that represents the company, the only thing stands in the way. You know, he is the face of the company, goes on Good Morning America, just everywhere, merch this. That's the only thing that you have to wonder if they don't want to take it off of him now because how much he means to the company.
Yeah, but it would set up a nice rematch at SummerSlam, right?
But SummerSlam in St. Louis, and you would think Randy would be a Cena.
That's an idea as well. is it in St. Louis? I don't think it's in St. Louis. This is the first two-night SummerSlam, isn't it?
Something's in Missouri very soon.
No, SummerSlam's at MetLife Stadium.
What's the next PLE after WrestleMania?
Oh man, why you got to do this?
I'm guessing it's
Backlash, isn't it? No, they go back overseas for something soon. There's a clash at something coming out. Hold on. Let's pull up the list. Oh, come on. I hate the internet.
Look how damn prepared you are.
Well, I didn't know you were going to question the entire PLE schedule.
I'm just saying Missouri something.
You're the one that's writing for WWE.com.
I'm telling you, I'm right.
And you can't tell me the next show that's in St. Louis. All right. So after Mania.
Backlash May 10th in St. Louis, Missouri.
Okay, there you go. So that makes sense. For Orton to be involved as a main event, but
why is there a Yingling Center in Tampa, Florida? It doesn't make any sense.
Yingling's not just a local brand anymore.
That's like saying,
when's the last time you were down in like the Tampa St. Pete area? Every bar down there has Yingling.
Well, every bar has Yingling.
Well, right. So what's?
I used to like that Yingling Porter.
That's good. But yeah, Yingling is not just a PA brand anymore.
Well, you would think this is where they would do their business. Is there a PNC arena in Cincinnati?
I think so. There's also obviously PNC arena in Raleigh. PNC's expanding too. They're not just like a Western PA.
There's no Heinz Field in Detroit.
What?
I said there's no Heinz Field in Detroit, so why would there be a Yingling in Tampa?
Because Yingling wanted to put their name on it because it's a growing market for them.
Yeah, but it was
you
it
and
was
marketing are not. Here. Anyway.
Established here. You know, Yingling should have put their sign up on right field of PNC Park.
Man, don't bring that back up. So how does The Rock get involved? Here's the question for me for Sunday night. How does he get involved, and does he stay involved beyond Sunday night into this the build towards SummerSlam?
This is what I'm saying. This is where he goes to Cody and said, Cody, come to the dark side. I'll help you get all your dreams come true.
But if Cody loses the belt to Cena, what's Cody's dream that needs to come true that he needs The Rock to help him with to get the belt back?
Remember, there's about a dozen different people who are gunning after Cody for no reason.
Okay.
Maybe he's getting tired of this. He needs some backup. I don't know.
Man. Cody turns heel on Sunday night. I will be shocked. Yeah, but know, I will give you credit for having called it first.
Yeah, but for the most part, these big PLEs usually don't have much interference or some outside crap happening. They normally like to do it straight up winners. Not all of them, but a lot of them will be.
Well, I mean,
maybe Road Cody just wins and it's over.
And then what for Cena for the rest of the year?
Well, maybe they beat the hell out of him. I don't know.
This is what I'm saying. Both main events, Saturday and Sunday, something is going to happen that we don't see coming. And if not, I'll be disappointed. Like, that's become the one thing over the last couple of years that Triple H has gotten really good at, and the creative team, is creating massive swerves in some cases that you don't see coming, or just massive moments, right? Like last year, the moment was the lights going out and Taker showing up, right? Like, right. It was great. It was 30 seconds, 60 seconds maybe, but it was phenomenal. What's that moment on Sunday night? I don't know yet, but something big is going to happen both on Saturday night and Sunday night in each of those main event matches. And then, I don't know. I'm getting to the point in my old age, I think, Kaboom, where I try less and less to predict what's going to happen, and I kind of just sit back and let them take me on the ride.
Sounds like an old man thing to do to me.
Yeah, I'm cool with it. That has been Monday, April 14th edition of Kabali and Mac. Kaboom is going to go take an antihistamine or a decongestant of some sort and clear things up before Wednesday. Wednesday, we will be just 8 days from the NFL draft. What will happen between now and then that we'll have to talk about? Hopefully more than today, because today apparently we had nothing to talk about. We sat here for an hour and 10 minutes. So we appreciate each and every one of you for coming on the ride today, putting up with Kabali and his sneezes and
sniffles.
Sniffles and sneezes and all the other nonsense. Don't forget to follow us. We'll have a new giveaway soon to rack up the subscribers on YouTube. Got to talk to our friends at First and Goal Sports for that. But thanks again to the Dan Heck team, the presenting sponsor of Kabali and Mac, heckteamhomes.com, H-E-C-K, heckteamhomes.com. And we will talk to you again Wednesday. That's the plan anyway, here on Kabali and Mac. Have a great one, Yins.